Orale! Bienvenidos and welcome to the Familia FFB podcast. I'm your host, Jorge Martin, and we are live on YouTube. Please make sure to give us a like and subscribe. We really appreciate it. Mucho, mucho. And as always, we are a part of Fantasy Points Media Group. We got another member in right in the middle right there also with us. So y'all, something big's coming up on April 1st, and it's not April Fool's Day. It's the NFL Prospect Guide for Fantasy Points. 200 plus rookie profiles from the NFL Films. Greg Cosell, the dude is a baller when it comes to the film study. I listen to him all the time wherever he comes up. We got strengths, weaknesses, NFL transition. We got rookie rankings, 2023 prospects, Devy rankings, mock draft, all for just $25. Make sure you like and make sure you subscribe. And when you put in the promo code. Go to fantasypoints.com and put in the promo code FAMILIA22, FAMILIA22. So there's so much, and there's going to be a great rookie draft roundtable tomorrow evening on the Fantasy Points YouTube channel. It's got Scott Barrett, Wes Hubert, and Graham Barfield, former show guest, and coming back soon. So otra vez, check it out. And Familia, I got to introduce our guest tonight. I wanted to talk dynasty, and I wanted to get these two guys on, and just, you know, these buen amigos, they're both a little bit more versed in the dynasty side than me. And so we're going to start, let's go to the Midwest, the middle. So it figures that he's in the middle. He's Nick Scripp, and he's the host of the Play to Win Fantasy Podcast at PTW Fantasy on Twitter for short. He's a live stream analyst for Fantasy Points and contributes to Bear Goggles On. Now, Familia, he is from Illinois, and word is that bad Leroy Brown says this is actually the baddest man in the whole downtown when he goes to the South Side. So again, he's another member of the Fantasy Points Media Group, and he just partnered up with Underdog Fantasy. So and he's a Bears fan. So we'll talk a little bit about that. And maybe we'll talk a little bit about having daughters. But yeah, on the Bear side, he hates cheese. So let's bienvenido del señor Nick Scripp. Bienvenido, Nick. How are you?
Very good. Very good. Thank you so much for having me on. I know we've connected in the past. You actually came on a stream of mine with my buddy Kevin, and we just had like an open mic session. This was a while back, and I think that's the first time we got connected face to face. But it's nice to guest on some other podcasts, especially one that is within the Fantasy Points Media Group. So thank you so much for having me on.
And as we said, he's a Bears fan, also a Bulls fan. So he's rocking the Bulls fans. So, our next guest from the Garden State, from New Jersey, home of Springsteen, The Sopranos, and yet somehow Steven Pintado is a Dolphins fan. We've talked about that a little bit on his show, which is the Fantasy Coaches Podcast at Coaches Fantasy, and where he and other coaches, they get into all sorts of fantasy strategy from redraft and especially dynasty lately. So about a year ago, I made the mistake of accepting an invite to one of his dynasty leagues, and let's just say I'm still rebuilding. So this is a good that we're having on. So bienvenido, Steven Pintado. How are you, my friend?
I'm good, Jorge. Thank you for letting me come on the show, man. It's been a dream to come on the show. So we've had you guys on, so it's nice to jump on here and talk some football tonight, man. It's a little late on the East Coast, but it's all good. So I'm excited.
Oh well, I know you're a late morning guy. You're a night owl, so it's a good thing to do this here. So, mis amigos, before we get into the dynasty talk, and we got a bit of breaking news that just came through. First off, you know, the past couple of weeks have just been a whirlwind. I've listened to both your shows, and you guys, I could tell just the frenetic pace of the past couple of weeks with the blockbusters happening all over the place. Nick, start us off. How have you recovered from all of that breaking news happening almost around the clock?
Just in general, right? Throughout the off season.
Well, especially right. The last 2 weeks.
Yeah, the last 2 weeks. I mean, obviously paying attention to what my Bears are doing or not doing, but throughout the whole league, it's been fun stuff because I think we've seen the most quarterback change we've seen in a long time. That just is a domino effect to everything else in an offensive system. So it's been fun for fantasy because so much has happened in as an analyst or a content creator, you have something to produce nonstop. It's not like you're fishing for different stats or, you know, sleepers or hot takes to make. Everything's right in your face, and it's been a really, really fun offseason, to say the least.
Oh, Jorge, you're on mute, my friend.
Thought it was me for a second.
There he is.
There we go. You're good.
Hey, you know, said the host should be not muted, I tell you. Steven, you guys got some great news with you guys being Dolphin fans, getting Tyreek Hill added to Jalen Waddle and to kind of put up or shut up time for Tua Tagovailoa. I kidded you, have your feet touched the ground since then, but how has it been?
I mean, just the Tyreek Hill stuff in general, you know, it's a big move that Miami had to make. I did not expect to ever say, oh, Tyreek Hill is going to be Miami Dolphin anytime in my lifetime here. But things happen. But in terms of the offseason, it shows that NFL teams want to win and they're going to make big moves. And we've seen last year a couple of teams made those big moves and it worked out for them. So this year or this offseason, we've enjoyed teams saying, well, we're going all in on these players or, you know, whatever it may be. And it's been exciting for fantasy. And obviously the madness clearly, as of even today, has not stopped. So,
yeah. And Nick, Los Bears, there's so much. I mean, you hinted at it a little bit, the lack of movement, but obviously there's a big change in the coaching staff. And how is the optimism for Justin Fields still, even a year later now, going into that year two?
So Bears fans, I kind of get a vibe that we're, you know, a bit frustrated because I feel like we've expected, you know, these huge moves to happen where we have like Juju Smith-Schuster and some other like big time wide receivers signed to the Bears. And that really hasn't been the case. But in my opinion, in the offseason, we needed to focus in on an offensive line and then receivers, more guys for him to throw to. And we've signed a few offensive linemen, Lucas Patrick from the Packers. I think that's a good one that we brought in. We brought in some other guys, Nicholas Morrow, another linebacker to pair up with Roquan Smith. That's a good signing. He's super athletic. Byron Pringle from the Chiefs, the St. Brown, that's not the good St. Brown. We brought two of those guys in. Not super excited, more of depth pieces. But I personally, especially for fantasy, still optimistic about Fields. I think the dual threat ability is really evident. Just spitting out some things in nine games above 50% of the snaps this past season. Four of them were top 10 finishes for the quarterback position. So there's good fantasy stuff for him, but he needs guys to throw to. So I'm hoping, since we didn't sign anybody big time in free agency, that in the draft with these 2 second round picks, we bring in a good receiver. That's what really needs to happen, because Darnell Mooney, stud, right? Cole Kmet, I think, will continue to progress. We need somebody else, and it can't just be Mooney and Pringle. It doesn't make a lot of sense in that aspect.
Well, this draft is so deep. I mean, the second round, there's still going to – second round, even the third round, some studs are going to be out there. And heck, last year, Amon-Ra St. Brown came in on the fourth round. So, you know, got to feel good. Have you been hearing the stuff that you'd like to hear from the coaching staff?
You know, the things that I've heard originally is that they want to build an offense around Justin Fields, which is very different than what Matt Nagy did this past season. We can't blame everything on Matt Nagy because I feel like that's a scapegoat. No offense to the Jaguars, they did the same thing with Trevor Lawrence and Urban Meyer. You can only point the finger so much at the coach. But when Justin Fields' playbook and Andy Dalton's playbook were exactly the same, something was wrong, right? So, you know, Lamar Jackson's system is built around Lamar Jackson. Jalen Hurts system, Joe Burrow system. It doesn't matter the quarterback. You have to build it around the quarterback, and that's what this coaching staff says they're going to do. So as long as they do, then I'm happy.
Oh man, well we got a return guest on in the chat, Mr. Scampers, who joined became a subscriber last week. He's not a Finns fan, so Steven, he's still with you. And he'd love to see Drake London fall to the Bears.
You and me both. You and me both.
Well, Steven, the Dolphins don't necessarily have picks. I think I saw that they don't have a pick in the top 100, but you know, and listen, I'm a Ram fan, so I could tell you, you know,
you don't need picks.
F them picks.
Apparently not. It's not a thing. So it's definitely not going to be as fun watching the draft you don't, your team doesn't have the picks in there, but you know, we made it work. We had to get players that we wanted to get on our team. We had to spend up like for Tyreek Hill. So I'll take Tyreek Hill over that 29th pick when we'll probably draft an offensive lineman. It's not flashy. So I'd rather just take Tyreek Hill at this point.
Yeah, Tyreek Hill and Terron Armstead. We'll take that chances there. Exactly. Well, mis amigos, we had a bit of breaking news that just happened in the last hour. It was broken by Peter King, the great Peter King, and also friend of the show, Sam Farmer, the LA Times, the NFL Times, the LA Times NFL columnist, Bruce Arians stepping down as the head coach of the Bucs, handing over the reins to Todd Bowles, former defensive coordinator. Now it's really looking like everything looks like the progression plan is Byron Leftwich stays as the offensive coordinator, remains as the play caller, you know, staying in the state of Florida. Steven, any concerns that this could impact Tom Brady or the offense at all from a fantasy standpoint?
I wouldn't say like a lot. I mean, he's still with the team there. I mean, obviously he's not going to be involved in the day-to-day coaching plans and the schemes as much anymore, but his influence obviously spreads to that entire organization right now. Ryan Leftwich is still going to be the OC, and, you know, he was calling plays at times and being very involved in this offensive make. So I don't expect too much change. Maybe they don't throw the ball as much. I know Bruce Arians would love to throw the ball deep. Maybe they try to get the run game actually established a little bit more, but I think it should, besides the veteran coaching, it should be the same. I mean, I don't expect too much to differ.
How about you, Nick? I mean, there's some fantasy studs in Tampa Bay. It's a team that threw over 700 times last year. Leonard Fournette really established himself. Still excited about all the parts?
Yeah, I think so. Especially since, you know, Bruce Arians, it's not like he retired completely from football. He's still involved. And then you got guys that were in the system before, still in the system and taking over. I was a little bit surprised that Byron Leftwich wasn't the head coach just because he was trying to be a head coach elsewhere. Mm. But looks like Bowles probably has a longer resume and maybe it fits better. But Tom Brady's the same. I mean, I don't want to be controversial here with a different sport, but LeBron James, like, I don't think it matters who coaches LeBron James at the end of the day. He's going to be LeBron James. Same with Tom Brady. I don't think it really matters who's going to coach him. That system is set up for them to be successful, and I don't think a ton is going to change. I was just surprised that Arians stepped down because it seemed like they were, you know, bringing the band back together with Brady and Fournette and maybe Gronkowski. So yeah, it's interesting.
And you know what? I mean, I'm in the middle of a dynasty startup, and I don't see any of the Bucks have mostly gone by this point. So at least the studs have gone. So, but I really don't see anybody being impacted that much. And I'm still going to grab up some Russell Gage kind of as a sleeper later in the draft. So he's one guy. I don't think there's going to be any problem. And actually Leonard Fournette, I think, is ranked too low right now. By the time we hit redraft season, I think he's going to be jumping probably in the top 10 running backs. My goodness. Well, mis amigos, dynasty time. So, you know, this is the dynasty time of the fantasy football calendar. And, you know, the real zealots for fantasy football, it's their time to shine and basically to show how it's consumed me. I mentioned being in a startup. So I've only got one more fantasy baseball draft than I do fantasy football draft this week. So that just says how important dynasty is to me. But I haven't played a lot. As I mentioned, Steven, I joined the first league with the first dynasty league last year to get the experience. I've been wanting to, nobody that I'd played with wanted to join. So, you know, one of the things that I kind of took into Dynasty was my absolute favorite fantasy league is actually a baseball league. It's a National League only rotisserie style, which has, you know, 3-year contracts. So you got player valuation and everything. And I kind of took a lot of that mentality into Dynasty and, you know, kind of tweaks here and there. As I said, I'm still learning, but I kind of started thinking more when I was thinking of starting to get some more dynasty content on Familia FFB, kind of related to dynasty. And I wanted kind of the hardest decision that comes into any fantasy football dynasty manager's mind is rebuilding. When to pull the plug, saying adios to the players. And, you know, some of them may be studs, maybe they're on the older on the age curve. Kind of, I know every team is different. So Nick, I'm going to start with you. Are there, and I'm going to start, both of you, I want to start, but I'll start with Nick. There are there one or two factors that you kind of seem to crop up on a roster besides the losses piling up that tell you that it's time to rebuild?
You know, I think the minute you just look at your team and you look across the league and say, you know what, I just don't feel competitive. I think that is a big sign that, you know, maybe things need to be shifted around for you to be that, because a lot of us go into the fantasy season year to year and we look at our squad and everybody loves their team, right? Everybody's optimistic. We're going to go 15-0 by the time we hit the playoffs. But if you're looking at your team and you're just at that point where you got a mix of old guys, you got some young guys, but you just don't feel like you're going to be competitive, then it might be a sign like, hey, I got to start shifting things around, especially if you do have some aging veterans that might be on the decline. You know, you invested in, you know, 4 years ago, you got your Julio Jones and some other guys that are kind of aging out right now. Yeah, I think it's just about being competitive. Can I hit the playoffs this year? And if the answer is no, and you didn't even start your season, then I think you have to start shifting things around a little bit. We don't want to overreact in Dynasty because that kind of messes you up for a couple years out. But again, if you don't feel competitive, then you need to make moves to make yourself competitive in the future.
How about you, Steven?
Yeah, I think Nick kind of said it best. I mean, you have to look at your team, and if you don't feel like your team has that, if I'm not winning this year and you don't think, if I don't win this year, can I win next year? And it doesn't go that way. The way I kind of do my dynasty rankings in general, I take that into my dynasty leagues. It's a 3-year window. And if I don't feel like my team can win in a 3-year window, or if it's not winning this season, I try to break it up. And if I look for older players on my team who I need to move on from. So for me, it's age and it's what your team is constructed with. Is it, can it win a championship? Or if it can't, it's time to rebuild it and try to look a different direction. Basically kind of how way I view kind of rebuilding.
Yeah. I think, you know, one of the things and it's tough to pull the plug. I never like to pull the plug on my baseball league. I would always, I tried not to pull the plug for a long time. And I found myself finishing third or fourth all the time and finishing the money or, you know, get a better draft pick. But it was just like, it's almost like, If you can't win and you could see that you can't win, maybe injuries kind of do you in a little bit, or I think one of the things that I really look at is if I find myself lacking at a position, whether it's be like, if I just have, you know, a second tier tight end and I want to try, and I know I'm not going to do anything with, you know, when I'm going up against Mark Andrews or Travis Kelce or those guys. So I think that's one of the things that really kind of comes into play for me. So Steven, we'll start with you on this one. Are you more apt to do a rebuild with an orphan team, as in the one I took over in the coaches league, than a team you drafted as a startup?
I mean, it kind of depends on what you really like. I mean, the easy way would be to do a startup, you know, because you get the players you want on your team to do that. If you want to go all young, that's your rebuild right there. When you have an orphan team, you're with players that you may not like on your team, so you're going to have to try to get rid of involving trades. And if you're someone who loves trades, which if you're playing Dynasty, you should love trades a little bit at least, that's the more competitive, more challenging edge there. Personally, I like to have my team kind of constructed. I disjointed an orphan team this year, and I can't wait to tear it apart and see what I can get out of it. But it's definitely easier to go the route of doing a startup and getting the players you want, because, you know, you're the one, you're evaluating these players, you like these players for whatever reason it is. And it's definitely, instead of trying to force someone to trade you the players you want, you can just pick them right there for you. So I'd probably say a startup.
Yeah, Nick, just to give you a little bit of context, the orphan that I adopted was no first or second round picks last year and no first round pick this year. So, and aging roster that had several guys who ended up retiring, like Drew Brees. And yeah, my quarterbacks were Matt Ryan and Gardner Minshew. So in a super flex league. So I was up for the challenge, but it's still a productive struggle. But for you, between orphan and startup, either one you like to blow up more?
So with orphans, sometimes you can just fall into some great pieces and you can look at a team and say, hey, I'll take it. I see I got AJ Brown and Debo Samuel and some older guys, and you know, the owner left. That's one thing. But I'm with Steven. I think I like to start it more because I feel like at some point, you know, this was your team. You had some sort of direction. So even if, you know, a portion of this squad was one that you had some sort of vision of, you can keep that and then move on from other pieces. Also, the thing with orphans too, that I tested out some orphans across the last like year or two. And what I didn't like about some leagues that I took orphans over in is that you don't know the league. There's been leagues I've joined in the past where, you know, I took this orphan team thinking I'm going to rebuild this. And then I joined a league that was super inactive, or joined a league that guys didn't really want to trade. So if you can't trade in your league, how can you rebuild a team that you can't trade? So most of the time in a startup, you know the guys, right? I mean, you're probably in it with some buddies, maybe some content creators, you know, and you know that people are going to be active, but you're really taking a chance in an orphan in a league that might not be as active as you need it to be to rebuild. So I'll take the startup because I know my league mates a little bit more than the orphan. That's maybe not a hot take, but it's kind of a reality sometimes.
And it is one of those things because there's so much in fantasy and especially dynasty that it's a little bit like playing poker, like playing chess. You gotta read the people that you're playing with. Yeah, you know, that's the one thing that's tough is kind of learning who people's favorite teams are so you could kind of exploit them in trades. So I think that's one thing. And Steven, in your league, I mean, thank you for giving me the scouting reports on certain owners. So that kind of helped a little bit. So, by the way, let's see. We got an amigo who just dropped something, El Señor Scott Barrett. So muchas gracias. Shane Barrett, sorry. Shane, ¿cómo estás?
Oh, yeah. That's my buddy Shane.
Look at that. Yeah. So he's at the gym. So so he's actually dropping it from. So the tribute, he's working out for on your behalf, Nick.
P2W.
I know you already got yours in.
We post some stuff sometimes, just some like workout inspirational stuff in the fantasy community. It was like a big thing last year, Fantasy Fit Club. And then literally like everybody just stopped, but I didn't stop. So Shane's in it. A couple other guys are in it. We're still rolling.
Oh nice. Man. Well, I quietly did it. So I've kept my,
there you go.
30 minutes of cardio. And then a few days a week, throwing either some bands or some free weights. So just to kind of keep it going. So nice, love it. Nice. So when you're looking at a rebuild and let's call it, it's a super flex rebuild. Is there a position that you prioritize targeting? And I mean, Nick, could it be quarterback? Could it be wide receiver, tight end? Is there one you're looking for first?
So this question is interesting because the way I approach it is probably different than the way Steven approaches it or you approach it. And that's just the beauty of dynasty, right? But I would say running backs and quarterbacks. And the reason being for that is because they are the thinnest of the positions. You only have so many starting quarterbacks in the league. If it's a super flex, so you can start two quarterbacks. There's only so many quarterbacks in the league, and there's only so many starting running backs that are fantasy relevant. The wide receiver list is pretty long, and I can see the opposite side of the argument because wide receivers last longer, so you might go that route. But I try to attack the thinner of the position and then the deeper of the position, which is like wide receivers, I feel like I can attack later because there's always going to be those wide receiver sleepers, and there's just so many that can be fantasy relevant. But I can definitely see different sides of this argument.
That's actually fascinating. And I like that idea, that mode of thinking. Steven, how about you? Is there a position?
Yeah, I'm kind of the opposite of Nick here. I mean, quarterback, absolutely. In Superflex, you have to get yourself some young studs. But I prefer to go the wide receiver route on my thing here. And I like to send all those old players away, get young wide receivers, start rebuilding then, and then sell these wide receivers to get running backs when I'm ready to compete. If this is the season, I'm trading. I have all these young running wide receivers. People want them because people want to have the longevity there. And you can trade one away and try to get, basically, to me personally, I try to get a running back out of that. That's that kind of way I see, especially one that's in its prime, because people are like, oh, let me sell those running backs now and get a young wide receiver. And you take advantage of that at that time frame. And that's kind of the way I see it.
No, I get it. I mean, and it's one of those things. I mean, you're going to have to build a balanced roster in some way, shape, or form. It's just, you know, really, what are you going to be targeting? And I think for me, one of the things that I'm trying to adopt as I get more into the dynasty side is trying to get as many young receivers as possible. If I'm in a rebuild, but if I'm going for it, I'm trying to get studs wherever, even if it's an aging running back, to try and go for it. And I'm trying to see if I could get running backs in the draft. So I know that, but again, that's kind of a crapshoot, even if it's after the NFL draft itself. So you know who's kind of where. So in that mode of thinking, Nick, are you trying to get it through picks, or just trying to get the young guys as much as possible?
When rebuilding, picks or young guys? I mean, I feel like you can do a mix of both, but you know, I feel like a lot of people get enamored with the picks all the time, but you can really, really miss with picks. So I was looking at some of my personal like home league drafts, and you know, the 2 years ago or whenever CEH was drafted, CEH was being drafted above Jonathan Taylor, above DeAndre Swift, right? I mean, we saw it in most of our leagues. That was happening. Henry Ruggs was being drafted, same with Rieger, above Michael Pittman Jr. Terrace Marshall this past season was getting drafted above Elijah Moore. And these are draft day mistakes. So, you know, I feel like you can have a mix of it, but so many people think that a rebuild means I get as many picks as possible, but you can miss on those picks. So I would say have a mixture of things. Get some picks, but also get the guys that you know who those guys are. You've seen them play last season. You know their opportunity, because, again, you can stack up as many picks as you want, but you can also miss on all those picks. So I like to have some sort of mixture of both, because a lot of people fade what we know and go for that mystery box all the time.
How about you, Steven? Are you compiling picks, or are you picks or talent?
It really depends on the draft class. I don't want to have to go that direction, but it really depends on what draft class is coming out. If I need running backs, it's not going to be in this, obviously, draft class. Me personally, after the 101, it gets kind of a little foggy when it comes to running backs. I hate, when I first started playing Dynasty in depth, you know, the Keyshawn Vaughn year, where I went for, you know, opportunity possibly, you know, that doesn't always work out, unfortunately, right there. So sometimes knowing that these young running backs are in a legit situation, or any player, honestly, sometimes that is where I would rather go than take the unknown of, yeah, maybe he's the next Jonathan Taylor, but maybe he's the next CEH. That's kind of the way I see it.
So we get a question in the chat from Shane. When I'm able, in one QB in Superflex, I think you have to have a top 12 dynasty QB. What do you guys think? Steven, you want to take this one first?
Yeah, sure. In a one QB league, it'd be nice to have it. I don't necessarily need it, but in the Superflex, I'd have to have at least one top 12 quarterback. Similar situation when I first started playing Dynasty. I just avoided the quarterback situation. I was like, I'll figure it out. Like, they put up enough fantasy points, and having, I think, what, Phillip Rivers and Jared Goff a couple years ago, I mean, they weren't getting me very far with my stud skill player talent. So I always try to get at least one now. And usually nowadays I'm going for like Josh Allen and, you know, Justin Herbert and Joe Burrow, and having at least one of those top tier guys. And then if someone falls, I go that direction, but at least in Superflex, I'd have to have at least one top 12 dynasty quarterback.
How about you, Nick?
Yeah, I agree with that. I've seen so my buddy Kevin, he wrote a big article about anchor running back. It's about having one really strong running back and then pairing them later. Same thing with the quarterback position. You can have that one really strong piece, and then maybe your second piece isn't a dud, but it's not two top 15 guys. I feel like if you have that anchor quarterback, and especially in super flex leagues, it goes a long way because it lets you fill out the rest of your team. So I'd say at least one guy that you have that top 12 upside with, and then for your second one in super flexes or your bench piece in a one quarterback league, again, you have your anchor, so you have a little bit more safety in your dynasty league.
And we got a comment from the champ, from Mr. Scampers, agreeing with you, Nick. So Trevor Lawrence, he was drafted way ahead of Davis Mills last year. I think I got Mills in like the third round. And so pretty happy with him. But, when it comes to Superflex League, do you guys feel the need to solidify that the two QBs in some way, shape or form, as soon as possible? Or if you just have one, or you want to maybe improve on the second one? Nick, what do you think of that one?
Probably around the same thing, with the anchor quarterback strategy. You can go about that route, or, just identify what kind of upside you're looking for in your quarterback. Because, I looked at a bunch of data before, and I categorized passing and rushing upside for quarterbacks. And rushing upside were guys that can hit 50 rushing yards or a rushing touchdown. Passing upside were guys that can hit 300 plus passing yards or 3 plus passing touchdowns. So I would say, even if they're not maybe the top 12, top 10 guys, quarterbacks that can hit one of those upside categories are guys I'm going to target at the end of the day. Guys like, I'm not going to knock these guys, but guys like Baker Mayfield and Mac Jones this past season, they don't really have that rushing upside. They don't have the big passing upside. So I would kind of shy away from those guys. But again, look for the upside with one of the categories, or again, with that anchor, get your stud and then pair him later on with some other guys that can help your fantasy team.
How about you, Steven? You want to solidify that one, or are you willing to kind of play loosey goosey and maybe put a receiver or running back in the super flex?
So for me, I think it really depends on how your draft goes, to be honest. Like we mentioned before, I'd like to get the one quarterback in the first round. If somehow a quarterback that I really like falls to me earlier than I'd like to take another one, I will. I'm in a draft right now, and I think in the first 8 rounds, I took 3 quarterbacks. I have Deshaun Watson. I have Derek Carr and Ryan Tannehill. Ryan Tannehill was sitting there in round 8, and I said, you know what? I mean, obviously it has to do with Watson slightly, but having that third quarterback, I was like, you know what? Let me just get a third quarterback. I'm set for this season. I won't really have to worry about having a second quarterback. So it really just depends on where people fall and how you value them in the drafts. I mean, you could just go one quarterback and kind of see what happens after that. But to me, it just depends on how your draft looks. And that's the way I kind of approach quarterbacks in super flex leagues.
Yeah. I kind of, one of the things I do want to get, solidify a second quarterback, cause it just feels like it's a competitive disadvantage unless you have someone like a Jamar Chase or Justin Jefferson in that super flex position. And it's like, you got to be really loaded at other positions, and that's just not going to happen. So just because there's so many points coming from the quarterback. But speaking of position that has a lot of points, the running back position, and Nick, you kind of touched on this a little bit, getting as much talent as you can. And there is that great attrition rate at the running back position. And are you in a rebuild, are you trying to trade away as many running back assets that may not be in like the first couple of years, maybe guys who are hitting that 25 or 26 or 27 year old age years?
So if I'm completely rebuilding, so I know I'm not competing this next mm-hmm. season, guys like Christian McCaffrey, Dalvin Cook, Derrick Henry, Alvin Kamara, I would try to trade those guys away because they are starting to get to that point where, they'll probably go backwards maybe in a year or two before they go forwards. If I'm anywhere near competitive, though, I'm fine maybe hanging out of those guys if they're within my 1 or 2 year window. But again, it just kind of depends on the state of your team. If you're in a rebuild where you're blowing it up, then you're getting rid of those guys. If you're in a rebuild where, you know, you're shifting pieces around to maybe make the playoffs, and maybe you do hang on to a guy like Joe Mixon or Austin Eckler that are still like approaching that age. So I guess it just depends on how much you are rebuilding and how much you are blowing things up. But I feel like we focus too much often on, you know, this guy is going to hit this age at this position and now he's dead, which in reality, like, I think it's becoming more like a talking point in an echo chamber than actually like prioritizing, hey, how do I get competitive? How do I compete? So it's a weird mix. It's hard to be clear cut about that one.
I know, because that's one of those things. It's like, because if that were the case, everybody's trading away Derrick Henry, and no one's trading me Derrick Henry right now. So, Steven, you were nodding vociferously there, really, you know, really emphatically. But I take it you're big in agreement there.
Yeah, I mean, on the age curve. Yeah, I think it also depends on the timing when it comes to trading, especially these older running backs. And in the one league we're in, I think I traded Aaron Jones during this offseason here a little earlier than I think I should have, because I think his value jumped since I traded him, I think, in January. But I think if you know you're not competing, like say right now, if you know you're not competing this year, I think sometimes trading away these high assets now might not always be the best value you could get. So if people who are rebuilding right now, like I have Derrick Henry on a rebuild, but I'm kind of waiting till the season to start to kind of get the most out of that value for him. Because if he puts up a 100-yard game week one, everyone's going to want Derrick Henry who's competing, and you know you're not. So I think it's involving timing when it comes to these older running backs at times, or any older player. If you think they can at least get one more season out of them, wait and let them show them and then sell them off. If you don't think they can, then sell them off then. And then that's kind of way I approach a lot of these older running backs.
Yeah. Speaking of which, make me an offer on James Conner after the show. Okay. So, kind of talking about there is so much talk about an age cap or maximum number of years for, you know, when a guy's actually in the call. It's really important to look at them, on a case by case basis. I mean, I know for me, I'm looking at, has this guy really been used and abused for a lot? I mean, like right now, I think Derrick Henry is older than Ezekiel Elliott, but I feel like Derrick Henry has fewer miles on him than Ezekiel Elliott because of those first couple years that he was kind of, you know, sharing the load in there. It is one of those things. I mean, you guys don't have any kind of hard cap on age for the running back position, right? Steven, you want to take that one first?
I really try till after 26 is when I start kind of looking at my team and say, is this player going to have another big season? I think sometimes we look at some fantasy players and we compare them to like the Frank Gores and whatnot. And like, oh, he's so good, he's going to give me another 2 or 3 years. I think I hear this so much in fantasy, especially with the wide receivers, but we won't get into that. But with the running backs, I think like everyone, all these elite players right now, Dalvin Cook, Alvin Kamara, you know, these guys are on that 26 range right now. And it's like, are they going to give us another 2 years, or are they going to give us half a season, get hurt, and then never really live up to the expectations? So I think 26 is when I start reevaluating a lot of these players, usually after their rookie contract. And that's when I kind of say, all right, how many more years does this guy really have? And how many years do we think I can get out of him? And if I can't get 3 years out of him, I likely will just trade him and try to get the most of my value before it runs out.
Yeah, speaking of that second contract, Nick, I mean, there's guys like Nick Chubb, your namesake, Dalvin Cook. I mean, you were talking about, you mentioned those guys before. It's really, are you trying to look at the name value and getting value and maybe trading them a year early than a year late?
I think it depends on the window you are in to be competitive. So if you're going to be competitive in 2 years, can you hang on to Nick Chubb to when he's 28 and then either use him or trade him away. It just kind of depends on where you are at in your league and when you're going to be competitive. And, you know, namesake goes a while because Steven mentioned 26, Nick Chubb's 26, Dalvin Cook is 26, and Kareem Hunt is 26, but they all might have different price points in Dynasty right now. So, again, I guess it just depends on where your competitive window is. So if your competitive window is 3 years from now, and those guys are going to be almost 30 years old, then right now is probably the time to move on, because at that point their production, their efficiency might be down, and what else is going to be down is what they cost. But if your competitive window is next season, then if you're not getting what you want out of a deal for Dalvin Cook, then maybe it's just hanging on to Dalvin Cook another year and just dealing with the fact that you're probably going to lose out on what you can sell him for later. And it just is what it is, but maybe it wins you a title in, you know, year two of your rebuild.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's kind of like knowing it, again, it's that poker, you know, knowing when to hold them, when to fold them. So yeah, going there. Yeah, Shane's got an interesting question. What do you guys think of this one? He's got a trade for you. Leaning rebuild, sent away Dalvin Cook and Desmond Ridder for Sam Howell, CEH Juju, in the 111, 511 in a Devy league. What, Nick, what do you think on that one?
Man,
did you do okay?
I got to take out my trade calculator and do some other mental. Dalvin Cook, Desmond Ridder for Sam Howell, CEH, and Juju in the 111. This is tough because the issue with like this trade right now is you have no idea what's going to happen with Desmond Ridder and Sam Howell. And I guess if you take those two pieces out, Dalvin Cook for CEH Juju, the 111, I don't know. I mean, that's, I feel like if I'm rebuilding, Steve, what do you think? So take the two quarterbacks out. So would you take, for Dalvin Cook, you have Dalvin Cook. Would you take CEH, Juju, and the 111? I'll leave the 511 out because nobody cares about that.
Yeah. I mean, with the current situation right now, I'm still off in CEH. I wanted to believe in him. And I know everyone's like, oh, he's going to get the passing work now. But I honestly don't know if that's even still true, to be honest, at this moment. Unfortunately, Shannon, I'd probably want to look for something else for Dalvin Cook. I know you made the trade already, but I'd probably want to look elsewhere, honestly. Juju's still 25. I mean, yeah, it's great, but
yeah, I might.
Now, does that help Jackson Dart being the
lost me on who that is?
No, it doesn't. No, I don't know. I don't know. But
it's Devy,
the trade's done. Yeah. The trade's done already, right?
Yeah.
I don't shift one way. I don't know. It's hard to critique this trade because it's done already. I mean, if it was me, maybe I would have said to the other manager, hey, keep your 5'11 and instead of CEH, put in this running back that I have more confidence in, or, you know, take out Juju and put in this wide receiver that I think, you know, I have a little bit more confidence in. I feel like that might be the approach to a trade like that, where me and Steven are kind of on the fence about it. Maybe you just take out one piece and that last pick that means nothing, and then enter something else that you're more confident in. So not to give a generic answer, that's just kind of like the way my brain works with that sort of stuff.
Yeah, I got you a Dalvin Cook trade. I traded for Dalvin Cook, and this was back in February before the thing went down, but I traded my first round pick, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, and Russell Gage the time. I mean, I still like it, but that's kind of what I was getting. I was giving up to get Dalvin Cook for a season,
which is a lot. Yeah. That gives a good perspective right there.
No, that's good. That's good thinking. All right, Shane, hopefully we helped you out there. You know, in season or off season rebuilds, either one preferred, obviously in season, you're pulling the plug kind of midstream when, you know, maybe you start 1-5 or something like that. Nick, do you have any kind of preference?
So I hammer this all the time. Timing is key in Dynasty. So my off-season trades, I'm going to try to identify people that I am higher on than maybe the consensus, that I feel like the price now is different than it will be during the season. So guys that I am more optimistic on, I'll try to target those guys in the off-season. In season, it's very redraft. You know exactly who is doing what week to week. You know who in your league is a contender. So maybe, you know, if you are hanging on to a Dalvin Cook and you know that, you know, Stevens in first place in the league, and I know at, you know, that the midpoint of the season, I'm in last place, he's going to pay, I'm going to censor myself, a lot for Dalvin Cook. I mean, timing is key, right? So, I mean, I like to make moves in both, but I feel like, you know, if you are higher on some guys and you see the brighter future and the dynasty price to go up later, you do that in the off season, and then in season, it's more of a redraft mentality. So it's a little bit of a mix of both for me.
How about you, Steven?
I'm a big in-season trader. I feel more comfortable trading in season, depending on what I'm trying to do and if it's either rebuilding or contending. But on the rebuilding side, I mean, that's when you're going to get those first-round picks, because people are going to throw those away like candy on the street there. People are going to say, I don't give a shit about this. Oh, sorry for my language. they're not going to care okay. about those first-round picks at the time. So you kind of just take advantage of players that way, and it's a good time to go and get players who are injured, who don't play the entire season. And I think during the offseason is where you go get the players you really want. Like Nick said, players you're higher on. So like a guy like, trying to think of somebody right now off the top of my head, like Elijah Moore.
Oh, that was my example. I love it. I love it. That was my example.
No one wanted to trade Elijah Moore during the middle of the season because he was doing so well. And now that the offseason's here, people forget about last year and like, all right, this is the time to go get him if you want him on your team. And that's kind of way I do my whole rebuild on both sides.
So we got a cool question in the chat. Would you sell high on Juju right now before the NFL draft? Steven, what do you think?
I would.
Considering that Tyreek Hill leaving may have changed his value.
I 100% would get the most value out of it now, because if they do sign someone, it's just going to lower his value down. I don't know. I like Juju. I think he's a good player, but I don't know if he's ever going to see the numbers we saw his sophomore season where he had 1,400 yards. I just don't see that happening with Mahomes. So I would want to sell off at the right price. Now, I'm not just saying sell to sell. Like, if someone's offering you a great value for him, I'd sell him. If not, you could hang on to him. He's going to provide you probably decent wide receiver three numbers, maybe better if he really is that involved.
Nick, are you getting is what you can?
I'm with Steven. You know, I'm not just selling to sell, but if somebody has the mentality that he's going to be the new Tyreek Hill, the new wide receiver one on the team with high volume, and he's going to be, you know, a potential top 12 to 15 guy, depends on the return. I recently sold Juju for the 2-1 in a super flex league and Nico Collins. I think I gave like a small piece with that, and I was fine with it because I needed more depth. It's a deep league, so I need more depth. I got, again, a 2-1 in a super flex is different than a 2-1 in a one quarterback league. And then I have some optimism for Nico Collins to a degree. But again, the big emphasis is exactly what Steven said. Don't just sell to sell. If someone's going to pay for, you know, what people are hoping for, then you can get a decent haul.
Yes. And yeah, you mentioned Nico Collins. I think he's a guy who's value could really rise if Brandon Cooks does in fact get traded even during the season. I think it very much now during the season. I mean, you've got everybody's got aging players, and how hard is it to stay kind of patient with an aging player like a Julio Jones or an AJ Green, guys who are right now, they're, you know, the greatness, the name recognition is gonna help, but you know, right now they don't have teams. I think we all expect them to sign with somebody, but waiting for them to do something and then pouncing and selling them to that point. Nick, are you just waiting and just trying to, is it hard to stay patient for those guys?
They're just like chilling on your bench at this point, because I feel like if you go to your league's group chat and say, hey, Julio Jones is on the block right now, what are you going to get? Somebody's going to send you, you know, a fourth round pick. And what's better, you know, hanging on to Julio and waiting for that 1 week, like I think it was like week two where he had that huge receiving game, and then you can sell? Or do I take the fourth round pick for a guy I'm going to draft and probably drop to my waiver wire? So it's just a matter of letting them chill on your bench. If they do have that big week, like we've seen these veterans do, then maybe you try to get something worth your while. But if you are selling these guys for things that you are going to drop later, then you might as well just wait it out.
How about you, Steven?
Yeah, I'm kind of with Nick on that, honestly. I think it really just depends on the value you're getting back for these players. Like, I think I actually did drop AJ Green in one of my leagues because I really don't think he's going to see another opportunity where he's going to see top 36 value. Julio, it's probably unlikely, but his name is, I feel like, so much fresher in a lot of people's minds that I would want to hold on to him more than a guy like AJ Green because of the opportunity he might have. I mean, it was big news that at one, for like a whole, I think, 3 hours before some other big news dropped that Julio got released.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, something else I think came up and completely just took Julio out of the equation. But seeing a player like Julio get released, it makes news to a lot of fantasy people, and people notice that. So it really just depends on what you're going to get back and how you value that player if he could still produce on a football team. I mean, right now, it's a waiting game. So, I mean, but you're going to get a fourth round pick like Nick said, I'm just going to hold on to him. And then if you don't get anything, you toss him away, just like the fourth round pick.
Say adios. Yeah. Just say adios. Yeah. You know? Hey, we got an interesting question, kind of feeding off the Juju, MVS, and Hardman. I mean, I think we're looking to trade those guys. If I can get, trade them as quickly as possible. Get what you can before they draft Chris Olave or some of those guys.
MVS and Hardman, I don't feel like they're very good. Hardman, I think, is a lot better than MVS, and I don't think Hardman's that good. So, I personally would be selling those guys if I can get anything, again, worth your while to sell those guys. Because, again, like we mentioned with like a Julio Jones, if MVS catches one of his three targets and he gets 100 receiving yards or something like that, then his price might have something decent later. But Juju is very, very different than those other two guys, but I would not be super interested in holding one of those guys personally.
Yeah, agreed. I think they're best like they're like good trade bait, but like just add-ons to a trade, basically, just to make the trade go through.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe if it turns a second round pick into a first round pick, just to do that. I mean, yeah, MVS and Hardman. I mean, it's funny, people are wanting to anoint Hardman like the next Tyreek Hill, and he has the same breakaway, straight line speed, but he doesn't have the shiftiness. He doesn't have the change of direction. Nobody has that. That's why Tyreek Hill is the highest paid player, highest paid wide receiver in football. So that to me is the thing. So I wanted to shift with a couple of startup questions since we have a little bit of time left. This is startup season. So I think we're all in some way, shape or form in startups, and I'm in the middle of a draft right now. Since most dynasty startups are super flex, is there a draft strategy that you like to employ, whether it be drafting quarterbacks early or late, zero RB, heavy RB, anchor? Nick, do you have any strategy that you like to go?
I'd say a lot of people will do mock drafts all the time, and a lot of people will make tiers in rankings and then go off of that. But at the end of the day, your startup, Steven's startup, my startups are probably going to be different. So you kind of just got to play your board. I've been in startups where guys didn't draft. This is like 2 years ago. Guys didn't draft quarterbacks until the late second round. I've been in startups recently where the entire first round is quarterbacks. I've been in startups where, Chase and JT go 1 and 2, where Chase and JT go 11 and 12. It's just, I feel like everybody thinks that, startups are equal, and they're not. So just play your board. I drafted in a startup with some really good analysts that I respect a lot. I drafted like Lamar Jackson at the 111. I thought that was a steal. And again, I was just playing the board in a super flex league. So that's my one piece of advice. I'd say also, a lot of people like rankings. Do look at rankings with tiers, because then I want one of these four guys, and if all four guys get drafted, then you got to shift elsewhere. Or if two of the guys get drafted or only one of them, then you have a strategy to pivot off of things. So that's just some rambling I have for that.
No, I love it. I love it. Steven, what do you think?
I mean, like Nick kind of said it. I mean, it just really depends on your draft and what's going on at the round of when you're trying to pick and what you're trying to go for. I mean, I always try. I don't really go nuts about running back. I mean, if I see a running back I like at the right time, I'll take it. But I kind of just stay away from the position, honestly, because we've seen this past offseason, that, I mean, it really doesn't matter about your – if you have a stud running back, don't matter. I mean, helps certain weeks, obviously, but clearly these running backs are getting hurt week in and week out. And before you know it, you're starting Darrell Williams and Sony Michel when you're getting them in like the seventh round.
Rashad Penny and Singletary, all those, yeah.
Exactly. You're getting these guys in the late rounds, and now you have a stud lineup with wide receivers, tight ends, and quarterbacks. So for me, I guess the only real strategy I go for, they really try not to draft running backs unless somebody falls to me that I like, that I'm like, all right, it's a great spot to grab. I'm going to grab him now. Like, I think Nick Chubb fell to the sixth round, I think, of one of my drafts. And I was like, all right, I'm just going to take Nick Chubb. I mean, I don't care to take Nick Chubb because he's older, but it just made so much sense. I was like, I'll just take him.
At that point, yeah. Why is he falling that much? You know, because I'm in the middle of one right now where I tried to do a zero RB strategy where I grabbed the quarterbacks and ended up with Nick, as you mentioned a little bit, you know, kind of read the board. And I didn't have intention of doing this, but Tom Brady was falling. And I just thought, you know what? I need to draft a win now team. So I want established studs wherever I can. I had grabbed Justin Jefferson kind of at the tail end of the elite quarterbacks going. But then I went in the second round, I went Matthew Stafford. Later on, I got Brady, and added receivers, Hopkins, Evans, Michael Thomas, and ended up with Josh Jacobs at 7 and then Damian Harris at 9. So, I mean, that I was pretty happy getting those guys kind of late like that and trying a little bit of that zero RB mentality. The friends of the show, Cal Shoemake and Dan Turner, both talked about that. You know, that is one of the things that I was looking at in this. Any thoughts on kind of like going with the kind of a win now mentality with the startup to try and just like, hey, let's get in there and get in and win right away and start the 2 to 3 year window now? Should everybody have that at the start? Steven, you want to?
Yeah, I'll go first on this one. It really just depends who you are as a fantasy player. I mean, there are people who love to just take all the older players. Like, let's just get, you know, Brady, let's get Fournette, let's get basically the whole Bucs team and let's go win a championship. And, you know, it's a good mentality. And then if you're not someone who can deal with the pretty bad team in a 3 year window after that and can't find a way to make the team good again, and then you're going to have yourself a situation where I'm hitting up Jorge to come and join a new league here. And the team is atrocious for 2 more seasons and trying to find an owner. I guess it doesn't really matter if he's leaving, but it's just hard to kind of rebound if you can't find a way to continue past that. I mean, I like to have a balanced roster of older and younger players that keeps me alive, longevity. I mean, if you want to win the championship and get $300 off the bat and have yourself an entry in for the next decade or however much you play. It's not a bad strategy. You're making money. If that's what you want to do in Dynasty, you want to make money, then go ahead and go nuts on getting all the older players and the players who are just elite, and that's it.
How about you, Nick?
Yeah, I got to stick with my brand here, play to win. But I personally, I hate not competing. So I go on every season trying to compete in some way. And I might not have the best contender in my league, but I always am trying to compete every single year. I've never been the guy that's like, I'm going to, you know, blow it up and rebuild and, you know, hopefully get there in 2 years. And this whole podcast is about rebuilding. So I'm not knocking that at all. But I feel like just like what Steven said, you can have that mix. You can have that mix of guys that are veterans that are going to produce at a high level that coming season with some young guys that you know you're going to have for multiple years. Or, you know, you can have maybe a team that you know is very competitive that season. And then on the off season, you know, mentally like, all right, now I got to get a little bit younger, but also still compete for the next year. So I'm always in that competitive mentality that I want to compete every year. But I think that if you sit back year to year in your dynasty league without knowing that you want to be competitive, but also you don't want to fall behind in the age curve and get too old, then I think you'll be okay. So it's a good mix of always competing and always making sure that your dynasty team has some longevity on it. So it's a mix of things.
Love it. Love it. Well, before we close up shop, just had to throw out one quick fun question. Favorite Mexican food, my brothers, since it's Familia FFB. Maybe you want to give a shout out somewhere that hopefully will give you a free lunch somewhere. Nick, you want to, how's the Mexican food scene in Illinois?
It's good. It's good. You'll have your random taco trucks, in places that, we'll have some good food. At a flea market, they'll randomly have like elotes somewhere that are like really, really quality. Oh, yes. But, I have a place that's like 5 to 7 minutes away, and it seems like it's pretty authentic stuff, but, I'm a big, just standard, tacos, burrito guy. I like the meat with some potatoes in there. Sometimes I feel like that's pretty good, but, yeah. Pretty simple stuff for me.
I love it. I love it. Yeah. Give me the tacos all day long. Steven, how about in Jersey?
I have to say the tacos, to be honest, honestly. I mean, I'm part Spanish myself in general sense. I do like Spanish food to some extent, but tacos in a general sense, I love tacos. By my girlfriend's house, this is, Mexican place. I have the chicken tinga tacos, and those spiciest things in the world, but they're amazing. So tacos are fan favorite for sure.
Yeah, tacos are like pizza. It's like you just can't have a bad one. Even a C+ taco, you're still eating tacos. So love it. Mis amigos, thank you so much for joining me on this one. I think this was a really kind of like fun kind of exercise and kind of checking in on Dynasty. Let's close up shop. Feel free to kind of plug anything you want. Nick, go ahead and lead us off on this one.
Sure. You can find me at P2W Fantasy on Twitter. Most of my content's on there. I'm on TikTok and Facebook and some other sites like that. But I stream live just like this once or twice a week. I have articles, infographics, just a bunch of random content. I try to throw out something almost daily. So most of it, again, is on Twitter. But again, appreciate you having me on. I host all the time, so it's nice to sit back and guess and not worry about the show sheet or organizing anything. And I appreciate you having me on here.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah. It's always fun. And again, thank you for having me on. And, I always do that. Steven, let's close it out.
Yeah, no, Jorge, thanks for having me on. This was great. If you guys want to ever follow me and my stuff, I'm over at the Fantasy Coaches. Our Twitter handle, The Coaches Fantasy. We actually just opened up these new Twitter communities. So if you want to join up, and it's a lot of cool, fun place to have people just talk about trades and stuff. It's basically the same as Twitter, but it's secluded. So it could be fun in that nature. But we podcast every Mondays and Thursdays most of the time. So if you ever want to check us out, please do so. And Jorge, again, thank you so much for letting me jump on. Again, like Nick said, it's fun to not have to be the host sometimes. So it's cool to just kick back and just talk fantasy.
I don't mind, but yeah, I will say it is fun not to have to do the show sheet and be a guest. So, but no, I want to make sure I get you guys loaded up with some good questions so you guys can give you guys the time to shine. And familia, otra vez, thank you so much. Make sure you're going to Fantasy Points, get 10% off. Put in that promo code familia22. Nick promotes his too. So get two subscriptions. And also make sure to give us a like and subscribe on YouTube. Un millón de gracias for doing that. And thanks to Anchor for being our hosting network, getting us on Apple, Google, Spotify, wherever you get your content, your podcasts. And also make sure you're going to familiaffb.com. You can find me at Jorge Martin 17 on Twitter, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, wherever. Just put Familia FFB and we're there. So keep enjoying playing Dynasty, Familia. We got about a month till the draft. I think, in fact, it's a month from today, March 29th. We're the 30th today. So today will be a month from today is when the running backs get picked. So that's gonna be more fun for fantasy. But remember, everybody, todos somos familia. Salud.